I was married at the time, and I was watching porn behind my wife's back, and I was actually pushing her to act out the scripts that were shown in porn. She divorced me. This is what happened.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Praise Arrow podcast. With me today, I've got Roman Mironov. And he's a life coach from Toronto. He's got quite the story, one which I believe is going to be very useful to you today. So, Roman, if you don't mind, thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad to have you. Please, could you share a little bit with the audience about yourself, what it is you do, what we should know about you?
Hi, Praise, and thank you for having me. And with that said, I am your friendly neighborhood porn detox coach. And my job is to help people achieve more success, more love, more happiness, more wealth, more amazing experiences by first stopping pornography addiction and then going to the next level in their personal growth.
Amazing. So would you like to share your own story about how you got to this point? Because I believe you've had some strong experiences that led you to believe that this was something worth doing. So could we hear a little bit more about that?
Sure. By the way, it's a long story, so you might want to get a drink.
I'm all ears.
Okay. I got addicted to porn back when I was 14. And actually, my friend showed me a videotape, which that guy found in his parents' like stash. And he showed it to everyone. And back then, there was no internet. So that was the only way we could access porn. I got excited. I liked it. I realized that, look, I'm a shy guy, and this porn sex is, I think it is for me. I cannot get real sex, so I should focus on this. And since then, I've been addicted to it for about 17 years. And yeah, it was different all the time, but basically, my biggest mistake was not dating during my golden years, my best years, from 16 to 21. I craved a girlfriend, but I could not get her because I was just, I really thought there was not much more to sex than just, you know, having those images, having those pixel sex. And at 21, I actually got a girlfriend, and I did not use pornography for about 2 years when our relationship was at this amazing stage when I felt a lot of newness. But later, going into the relationship deeper, I realized that I still want this newness. And as we started to fight with my girlfriend, I actually went back to pornography. And then it plagued me for about another 10 years. And what happened 10 years after that? Actually, I was married at the time, and I was watching porn behind my wife's back, and I was actually pushing her to act out the scripts that were shown in porn. And at this point, I said, She divorced me. This is what happened. And I was lonely. I moved in with my parents. I was back in their basement, literally. And I realized that if I don't stop watching pornography, I will stay like this. I was 32. And what I said is this: I'm going to stop now because this is holding me back from getting an amazing relationship. And I use this as motivation to actually go out and build social skills. That's how I got a girlfriend after that. That's how I improved my social skills. And that's how, that was the beginning of a new life, basically. Because I left all the guilt, all the shame that I associated with porn in my past, and I moved forward. And since then, it's been almost 9 years. And honestly, this has been a fantastic journey for me. I'm so happy I bit this addiction.
Something interesting you said is that you felt that you should have been dating from the ages of 16 to 21. And why do you think that not dating from the ages of 16 to 21 would lead a lot of people into pornography?
Well, I cannot speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself. First, I watched pornography and I thought that this is all there is. I'm so shy. I'm so socially incapable that there is no other outlet for me than just to have this porn sex with my hand, with a screen. Now, what happened then is that I just became more shy. I keep losing my confidence to a point where I became almost paranoid. I was so shy, I could not go to my college canteen and eat there. I thought that people were watching at me and like they were judging me all the time. And I basically drove myself into the ground for this behavior. And at this point, I could not even talk to other people. I could not imagine talking to strangers. I felt just too uncomfortable doing that. And of course, my social skills were not existent. And look, I was in a college with a lot of girls, and I had those opportunities, really. I mean, I didn't even have to do much. I had them because it was like one guy and 10 girls for each guy. But funny enough, this held me back so much. And that's why I think that when people ask me, what's one of the best ways to quit watching porn? I say this, especially when you're young, get social, build your social skills, talk to other people, get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And then when you do that and you get to have real sex, and it's okay. I think after 16, of course, it depends on the culture, but in general, after 16, it's okay to have sex. And as long as you're safe and you don't do stupid things, it's all right. And when you do that, you create an amazing relationship. Porn is a joke.
Okay. Well, that's arguable to a lot of people. I mean, there are a few points there. First, the one about whether or not just getting into a relationship is going to help a lot of people out of it, because there are some people, like you said, even in marriage, some people still want to watch pornography. So that's one. And then there's also the argument of the culture or religion. For example, I'm Christian, and you know, it's like no sex until marriage. For some people, they think that for some people, the argument of whether or not just getting a girlfriend is going to stop you from pornography equates to, okay, so if you have a girlfriend, then she's just for the purpose of sex and not really for anything else. So the purpose of this girlfriend is to stop me from getting into pornography. Is that what it means? Or are you building to something more stable? So there are two questions.
No, of course not. Yeah, and to answer your latter question is, of course, you're building a relationship in order to have a relationship, because this is one of the areas of your life which makes your life amazing. Like, you have health, wealth, your relationship, you're working on your life purpose, all those things. And a relationship is one of them. And you want to build it to a level where it feels amazing, not just to avoid an addiction. Of course not. That would be a mistake.
Okay, got it. So you're saying from the ages of 16, in your opinion, people should begin to explore, you know, getting out with the opposite sex, talking to them. Now, I suppose you have a range of clients, people you talk to. And then what would be your advice for someone who, by cultural or religious standards, they do not have sex till marriage, and that person is struggling with pornography? So the answer wouldn't be to get a girlfriend right then or get a boyfriend to just help with that as a temporary release.
Yeah, this is a very good question, because I do have a lot of people reaching out to me in those situations, especially people from, let's say, India. And I feel for them. That's the first thing, because it's so hard. When you are young, you have raging hormones. The nature designs your body and your hormonal system to reproduce at this point. That's why you're so horny, and then you cannot do anything about it. So the best advice is to realize this thing. Your sexual energy, your sexual drive is also your creativity. Normally, nature uses it to push you to create life. But since you're not able to create life at this point, you need to create something else. And when you're young, what you need to do is to find a life purpose. And I know it's not easy. So you need to pick a random life purpose, something that you like at this point. You're not sure about it 100%. This is not important. You pick it now. Let's say you want to be a medical doctor. Okay, do that. Study, apply yourself, really use that sexual energy to focus on the studies. Think of this energy as like an entity that exists in you, and you let that entity work on the study. You use that entity to help you focus. You use that entity to keep you motivated instead of wasting it on pornography and excessive masturbation. And then when you end up being a medical doctor, you do it for a few years, well, and you realize, well, I don't think this is my life purpose. At this point, it's okay to switch. It's okay to shift into a different career or into a different business. That's fine. The point is, to reiterate, you find a life purpose and you invest your sexual energy, which is your creativity, into that life purpose, especially if you are a guy. Because I think for guys, having a life purpose is more important than for girls. Because for girls, yeah, I know I might sound too old, I might sound too traditional, but I do believe that with women it works a little bit different, because they have this ability to create life in themselves, to be very nurturing, to be very feminine. And for many women, this is a good life purpose in itself.
I'm not arguing that. I think it's true that it's usually easier for girls to find that mental, emotional stability than guys. Like, most girls are usually more level-headed. You know, they've got a direction, and that's usually associated with the fact that girls are probably under higher pressure than guys to settle down. So from a young age, you already know that you've got this short time frame to have kids and to settle down and have a family. Like, you don't have forever, so that has to come into mind pretty early. I think that's why girls seem maybe more emotionally mature than guys. Okay, fine. Let's talk about pornography itself and what happens to someone who exposes themselves to that. So you have your own personal story, but let's talk more generically now. For the average person who comes to you, what have you observed? Because someone might be watching and thinking, well, I don't think it's really affected me that much. So what would you have to say to them?
Okay, so let me give you a theoretical explanation and practical examples. Mm-hmm. So what happens is this. The nature, the evolution designed the sexual drive to push us to become better. Because if we want to get a great mate, we need to improve ourselves so that we are attractive in the eyes of that mate. And we feel the reward when we get sex, especially as guys. So you need to make this connection between the evolutionary pressure and the sexual gratification. So that's why we want it. Now, what happens with porn is that we hijack this natural mechanism. We get sexual gratification without doing the work that is required by evolutionary pressure, which means that we don't get any motivation. Why should we be motivated if we already get sexual gratification? So this system hijacks our motivation system. Another way to look at it is this. When you get short-term pleasure, you use your dopamine reward system. Dopamine is this neurotransmitter that gives you motivation and that gives you pleasure in the short term. Now, if you rely on that, you are killing your long-term motivation, which is a different neurotransmitter, serotonin. With serotonin, what you need to do is this. First, you do the hard work, and then you get the results, and with the results, you feel this long-lasting effect of contentment, which is given to you by serotonin. With dopamine, it's different. you don't need to work. It's like, it's a very selfish type of pleasure. You push this dopamine button, you watch some pornography, you do some fapping, and then you get this dopamine. These are two very different systems. And again, what's happening there is that you kill your motivation because you don't need that serotonin. You don't want to work hard. That's the last thing that you actually want. Instead, you just keep pressing this button for this short-term dopamine, short-term pleasure. Pleasure versus pleasure, which is dopamine, versus contentment, which is serotonin. Think of it like this. So one way, one example of dopamine is using pornography to escape the moment, to feel good in the moment. An example of a serotonin system, serotonin reward, is going to do a workout, hitting the gym, working hard, feeling the pain, tearing your muscle, and then feeling amazing. What you feel after a workout, this is serotonin. Now, what are some practical examples of people, of negative effects on people watching pornography? First of all, they waste a lot of time. Some people would watch it every day for several hours. If you think about it, if you just watch it for 1 or 2 hours every day, in 10 years, you end up wasting about $150,000 compared to working a job, a simple job like at Walmart. Now, you also start feeling depressed because you know deep inside how what you're doing, it's not helping you in any way. It's actually driving you into the ground. You feel guilt and shame. And that's why people end up feeling self-hatred and things like that. Some people even become suicidal. Because let's say you are a religious person, you are Catholic, and your religion tells you that you cannot do it, but you are very young and you don't know any better. So you keep doing this behavior, and then you hate yourself. And then let's say your priest tells you to hate yourself. Now, there are negative effects. And again, these negative effects come mostly from anecdotal evidence, but I do believe in them. Another example is not having energy. You just feel lethargic. Not having energy to hit the gym. Hair loss. Bad skin. Especially for people who overdo this behavior, really overdo to a point where they feel they're compulsive addicts. What else? You don't feel confident. You actually avoid talking to people. You don't want to be around other people because you're hiding from them. This is very, very detrimental to your mental health. Now, one other thing is brain fog. People find it hard to concentrate, and they even experience things like memory loss. This guy reached out to me, I think he was 18, and he said that he has to get ready for an exam, and he finds that he cannot concentrate, and he's really, really scared because this exam is so important. He has been working to prepare to it for the past 5 years, and now he can actually miss it. He might actually fail the exam just because of this behavior.
Well, yeah, I think one important thing you said, well, everything you said is quite important, but one thing I can really understand is the part where people start to feel weak, because I know what it's like when you begin to do things that are disappointing to yourself. So when you begin to disappoint yourself, you begin to lose trust in yourself. You know, there are times when you get a task and you know, okay, yeah, this is within my capacity and I can do it. You trust yourself to a certain extent. But when you begin to do things that are outside your moral bounds, when you begin to compromise, do things you thought you would never do, you just feel weak. You feel like you can't do anything. You can't sustain anything. And that's probably the most dangerous thing. When you stop believing in yourself, you lose your confidence in yourself entirely, because you need that confidence in itself to come out of, you know, that addiction or habit or whatever it is. So yeah, I get that. And, you know, you said something important earlier about how there is a drive you're meant to have to focus on a lot of things in life. And when you, and at this stage, if you do not have that drive, if you do not have that focus, then you can easily fall into pornography. I think it's also easy. It's easier now because the kind of work we do does not really, for a lot of people, the kind of work they're engaged in doesn't allow them to express that drive or passion. It's just like, okay, I go to a job to just get by. You know, I do this job just to put food on the table and I'm not really interested in anything. So most people are just lethargic about life and have this sense of apathy towards everything. I think when you do things that you have no interest in and you don't think that what you're doing is meaningful in any way, it's easy to get to that point. So that's really important. So the average age, what's the average age of the people you talk to? What would you say is the range? Okay, maybe not the average age. What's the range?
Okay, the range is big. I would say it's between 9 and 62.
Wait, 9?
Yeah, 9 to 62.
Wait, 9? Oh, my. Okay, yeah, that's a... So, the 9-year-olds, how do they get into pornography? Most of them.
Yeah, they just don't know any better. They have a phone. They have been addicted to the phone since the age of one or two years old. And then just one day it comes up on their screen and they feel excited. That's how I felt. I saw the first erotic images maybe when I was 6, and they were exciting. I did not realize that was sexual excitement at the moment, and my hormones were not developed at that point. So it wasn't really sexual drive, but let's say someone is 9. Yes, they will like those images. And, I mean, it's not normal, because I think most people get into pornography around 12 or 13 or 14. So 9 is kind of an outlier. But at the same time, I would expect that this age will actually decrease as we go forward, because porn is so accessible. Yeah. It's super accessible, and it really takes an effort on the parents' side to stop, you know, to block pornography, to use all those different kinds of family security solutions, different apps, and so on and so forth. So it's very important for parents to be actually like super cautious and really realizing that this is an issue.
So let's talk more about that, the parents, because, you know, I'm thinking about this and I'm not married, I don't have kids, but I'm very concerned about how hard it's going to be to raise a child in today's society with, you know, you don't know what's online. There's TikTok, there's Instagram, and then everything from there is just a spiral towards God knows what. So how would you advise a present-day parent to monitor their child's activities?
Well, first of all, get that blocker. Make sure that you install all possible apps, all possible protections, whether it's on your router or on the phone or on the laptop, desktop, whatever. You have to do it. You have to do it for yourself so that you don't see any content that could trigger you. And then your child does not see you watching any content, even if it's accidental. And then, of course, you prevent the child from getting access to that content. With that said, don't worry about it too much. Yes, be protective. Yes, be cautious. But at the same time, you cannot control what your kid looks at. Let's say it's school. Someone might show pornography to them. And yeah, this is normal. As a parent, your job is to raise a conscious kid. So the idea is to tell them to be open-minded, and at the same time, think for themselves. That's the most important thing. A lot of dangers, a lot of risks will come their way, including drugs, including pornography, including being a part of a gang or something like that. And if your kid is very conscious and you taught them to be independent, not to just follow the herd automatically, then they will make the right decisions on their own. And also, it's it's good when you talk about things like pornography without moralizing. So you just ask them questions. Why do you think excessive masturbation might be a problem? Why do you think pornography might be a problem? Maybe the kid realizes and says, well, I don't think that this is real. It's just people acting. And you say, you're right. So you are asking them questions and using this Socratic method to actually activate their mind first so that they make their own opinion without imposing your own opinion on them. So that would be one example. And just to give another practical tip, because I'm a parent, I have a 13-year-old, and I think it's super important to let your kid develop on their own and let them make mistakes. Don't be like a teacher. Your goal is to be more like a friend. Listen to them, understand them, ask how they feel, what's going on, what's on their mind. And then when you are a friend with them, let's say they start getting addicted to pornography and you have this friendship between you, then they might feel comfortable opening up to you about it. Mm-hmm. And then you can intervene. You can overhelp. Let's say you help them like take my free course. They take it and they forget about it. It was a joke. Being friends with your kid is probably the most important thing in your relationship, because everything will flow out of that.
Yeah, I see. It's not always easy though, because there are times when you have lived through something maybe, and you know how dangerous it is. And it seems like you're trying to help your kid understand that this is probably dangerous. And they're like, yeah, no. I think it's pretty hard for a parent. It's one of the most difficult things to do. I mean, I'm speaking, even though I did not have parental experience, but just imagining someone you love going towards something dangerous, and you can clearly see that's where they're headed. I think it's very difficult to not try to impose your opinion in some way. It's easy to say, it's easy to theorize, but for most people, it's really hard.
Absolutely. And I like how Stephen Covey talks about this in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think he said that you need to have this proportion. 80% is just unconditional love toward a kid. And 20% is kindly teaching the principles that you've learned.
Yes. And, you know, you said something that they should not even by accident see you viewing that sort of content. So that places an emphasis on how you live your own life, because kids observe. And even from when they're very little, you know, less than 2 years old, every once in a while, your child just surprises you, because I've been around kids. And every once in a while, the child just surprises you by copying an action. And you're like, when did you learn this? You're shocked. So even when you think your kids aren't watching, they're observing how you live your life, how you talk to people, the way you communicate, what you prioritize, and if you're actually doing the things that you tell them are right, or whether you're doing the things that you tell them are wrong. So kids learn by watching. Yeah, that's important.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and so... Sure, go ahead.
I would even take it to this woo-woo territory. I think that even though kids might not see you watching porn, but like you do it very secretively and they never know, I do believe that they still know, because you are a role model for them.
Yeah.
And that behavior, it translates into your energy. So it creates this low vibration energy in you, and your kids will notice that. And they will see that something is not good, and they will copy this, just like you said.
Weak, and they also feel that.
Yes, they feel that. And in the same way, you are influencing their character. Let's say, for example, you're less confident. As a result, they copy your character, they become less confident as well. So that's, if you have kids and you are addicted to pornography, this should be a huge motivation factor for you. Quit, for not just for yourself, but for your kids as well.
Okay. So let's talk about stopping pornography? You know, there are a lot of methods for adults now, not kids trying to control what their kids view, not parents trying to control what their kids view. How do you come out of it? What are the methods that maybe a list or your top three, or if you want to name all of them, that's fine as well.
Okay. I think I've actually created a free porn detox course so that people can use my system, the system that helped me and hundreds of other people to get free, and just go briefly through the system. The three pillars are: you create a battle plan, a battle system, so that for every problem that you have on this journey, you know exactly what to do. For example, you know what to do when you have a strong urge. You know what to do if you relapse, how you punish yourself in order to create this pain association with relapsing. And then, let's say if you set a goal to stay clean for a week and you hit the goal, then you reward yourself. So that system includes a reward. Now, the second component is commitment. This is crucial. You need to understand that this is a battle oftentimes. You are fighting a very strong evolutionary force and a very strong habit that you built over the years. Now, to break it requires a really military commitment. It's like you are in the battlefield and there is an enemy coming at you. And if you don't fight this enemy to death, this enemy is going to take you down. And you also need to be committed, but also patient. It requires patience. You will relapse. When I started cleaning my life from this addiction, I actually had a lot of relapses, and I had to be super patient. This is important. And remember, funny enough, when you have a strong urge, if you stay patient for 15 minutes, oftentimes the urge will go away because our mind, it doesn't like to stay with one emotion for a very long time. And the third pillar, this is key. You need to have accountability outside of yourself. Making promises to yourself is good, but oftentimes they're empty. But if you commit to staying clean to another person, and that other person holds you accountable, you check in with them every day, this is very helpful because you don't want to let that person get disappointed. This, again, this is very crucial. And to give you more specific tips, because one of the most common questions is, how do I fight urges? These are the three things that you want to do when you have urges first. And they have proven to work best. Take a walk. Simple, but it works. Exercise. Something simple. Just fall on the floor, do some push-ups. And the third one is meditation or prayer, if you're spiritual. And now one final tip. You need to make sure that you keep yourself busy, because oftentimes people will say this: I actually did three weeks of no PMO, which means pornography, masturbation, and orgasm. I was clean for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And then I ended up with all this time on my hand. I didn't know what to do. And then I relapsed just because I felt bored. Now, your goal is not to feel bored. You need to keep yourself busy. And here are the best ways to do that. First of all, make money. Get a temporary job. It will keep you excited. You love the fact that you're making money. This will take you to the new level. The second one, work on your social skills. Just as we talked before, getting a girlfriend or getting a boyfriend will change your life, especially if you're very young. It will change your perspective on this porn sex that you're doing. And the final tip with keeping yourself busy, get outside of your home. Don't be isolated. Be around other people. Talk to other people, whatever it is. Volunteering, just going down the street and picking up litter, that will keep you busy. That will keep your focus off pornography.
You know, when you mentioned the part about getting out of your home, it occurred to me that probably there was a rise in pornography viewership during the pandemic. because everyone was home. And for a lot of people, you know, jobs became remote. So now you've got so many hours when you're just sitting down. So even if you're working, you're just sitting in one place in the same house and you're really bored because you try to move around. And if you don't pick up an activity that really excites you and that you find meaningful outside of just work, then I guess it's really easy to fall into pornography in that scenario.
You are absolutely right. And imagine how worse it's going to get as we move forward. We people were not designed for this lifestyle that suddenly came upon us in the last 20 or 30 years. The sedentary lifestyle where we don't even need to go to work. Now we can just stay at home, and then VR is coming. And with VR, with VR comes more virtual sex, more virtual work, more sedentary lifestyle. We are heading into a crisis in this sense.
And yeah, you know, if for a lot of guys who can't really, like, I mean, girls face this too, but I guess guys fall prey more easily to this. I say for a lot of guys who cannot really get feminine attention, female attention, I didn't really know how hard it was for a lot of guys until recently when I started to listen to more stories. There are a lot of guys who can't even get a girl to, you know, just even look at them, give them a second glance, talk to them. Like, you say hi and, you know, no one responds. Maybe because you haven't built up yourself or you haven't built social skills, all these things. And they're so shy, they can't even talk to a lady. And when you're offered with VR, where you can talk to the prettiest girl you've ever seen in your life, you know, who's artificially created, and you can do with her whatever you want. I mean, why would you even want to leave your house? But the thing is, it's not real. And that's a very dangerous place to be in, I think. So yeah, people should get out of their houses. I should get out of my house more often. I don't really like to leave my house because everything I do is at home and I like it. I really, really like it. But yes, sometimes I feel that I'm just stuck at home for too long. The advantage I have is I have a lot of things that keep me busy, like a lot of things I'm interested in and a lot of things I pick up every now and then. But I do know that it's a dangerous place to be in, even health-wise, just sitting down at home with your laptop. It's not good.
Yeah. Yes, very wise.
One thing I wanted to discuss, I think, before we start coming to a close, is about dealing with the root cause. And I think you mentioned this, dealing with the root cause of the issue. Because some people, like you, for example, you said you got to a stage where you were having issues with your girlfriend, and that was when you relapsed. So after the 2 years when you weren't involved in pornography, so when you started fighting and all these things were happening in your life, then you sort of went back there as a sort of release from all that stress. So how would you advise people to confront the things? Well, how would you even advise them to determine what the root cause is? Because I think very often people try to run away from the reality of what's causing their problems. So how would the average person get back to that state of inflection?
Yes. Okay. And to begin answering a question, we need to go a little bit, let's say in the past, and explain what's happening. Let's say someone is 13 and he started watching porn. And at this point, he's watching it not for a root cause, but only because he's horny and he doesn't have another outlet. He doesn't have a healthy alternative. So, but that's fine. It's kind of fine. I don't support that, but I do understand kids who do this. Okay. So let's say this guy masturbates and watches pornography for 4 years. And what he does is that he teaches his brain that whenever he feels stressed, he now actually built in this mechanism into his brain. This is how I get pleasure. And then he starts, let's say he's 17 now, and he starts using pornography not for horniness anymore, but for depression, loneliness, any kind of unhappiness, boredom. Because the mind knows whenever I feel bored or lonely, I can just press this button get some really quick dopamine, feel good about it. And that's when it becomes a problem. It's now a mental health problem. Yes. Now we have a root cause. What I suggest is this. You need to do the 30 days of no pornography and no masturbation. This creates a space between you and the root cause. Because oftentimes when you are addicted, you don't see the root cause. You're fighting the addiction, which is not the problem. The addiction is just the coping mechanism. And you keep thinking about this. When you relapse, you think about relapsing. You're guilting yourself. You're shaming yourself. And when you are not relapsing, you're fighting the urges. It takes a lot of mental firepower. And with that mental firepower used up all the time, you cannot see the root cause. So you take a step back. You do the 30-day test. And then you see the root cause. And now you can work on the root cause. Finally, how do you do it? Reach out for help. That's it. That's the problem with us guys. We think that we're strong. We can handle it on our own. We don't want to ask for help. We actually feel weak if we ask for help. And that's a problem. You need to do it. When you find the root cause, whatever it is, let's say you are depressed, there might be a physiological reason to it. And you might spend the next 10 years fighting it until you find a doctor who tells you that, wait a sec, your hormones are low. You should have fixed them 10 years ago. And I'm speaking from experience here because when my first mild depression hit me because my dog died, I got super depressed and I stayed like that for 2.5 years. And I think that this time was basically lost in my life. I hated my life. And the only reason was that I focused on this stupid idea that my dog died. I could not save it. That was my fault. And now I cannot allow myself to be happy. If I had reached out for help, my therapist or coach would tell me, what are you talking about? That's a dog. That's a dog. And that's it. That one sentence could have saved me 2.5 years. So don't make my mistake. Reach out for help when you know your root cause.
Okay, great. So I think we've had a very comprehensive discussion, but I'll let you, if there's anything else you want to add, I think you can add that, but I'd like you to just tell everyone how they can reach you and what are the courses you have available. Any advice you have to give apart from what we've mentioned already would also be great.
Look, my best advice is in my free porn detox course. People ask me for my insights and for advice. They reach out to me all the time. So I said, okay, I'm going to create this free course so that gives you a structured system to follow and to beat this addiction once and for all. And look, if you take the course, you're really committed to it, you do the tasks, you work on it every day, and it still doesn't help, then you know that you need something more substantial. Maybe you need working with a specialist, with a professional, one-on-one. Maybe you would want to reach out to me. That's the point. So this should be your first step. If you feel that this is a problem, watch the course, make up your mind. If you feel that, if the course shows you that you are addicted, then you need to take it. Now, this is my best answer to most questions that people ask about porn. How long will I need to heal my brain? How do I fight the urges? What are the benefits? What are the supposedly negative effects? All those answers are given in the course. All those questions are answered there. So grab it. You can find it at romanmironov.com/free. Go get it. Get on my email list. You'll be able to talk to me directly. I will do my best to help you. I answer all questions. And one of my biggest social media is YouTube. And I release videos almost every day. I have a podcast there. I do a live podcast every Sunday. You can join it. You can talk to me in the chat. And again, I'll answer your questions. So I'm there to help anyone who needs help, whether it's just for pornography addiction or for more general questions of more general areas of self-development, because I do believe that addiction is not the problem. The problem is not having your life together. So my job as a coach is to help you go from level zero to level five by stopping the addiction. But then I want to help you take yourself to level 10, level 20, level 30, which means a really loving relationship, feeling content, having success in your business or your career. So I'll be there to push you. There you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Roman. And for those who are interested, I will include as many of the links as possible in the description. So whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening on any of the audio platforms, you can find the links below. So please check them out, and I'm sure you'll find them useful. All right. So I guess we'll say bye now. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you so much for the opportunity.